Good morning to all of you. We're set up a little differently today because of the Pro Musica concerts that are going on, so thank you for bearing with us a little bit. Today we focus on the great festival of Pentecost and this week in the church year. Please join me in the responsive reading that you find on the sheet provided. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When the Spirit of truth shall come, he will guide you into all truth. God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. The scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from St. Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13. God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Just a few weeks ago, last month, there were four men in a sailboat that went off of Long Island out into the Atlantic Ocean and suddenly got caught in a horrible storm that was unpredicted. And a large wave caught their boat and began crushing against it. You can actually find video of this, the rescue effort that the Coast Guard did. It's really pretty fascinating. And you can't believe how smashed their boat became. During the rescue effort, and the Coast Guard does these frequently, It went later into the afternoon and into the evening and started to get dark. And so a portion of the rescue effort had to take place in the dark. The Coast Guard does this once in a while where they have to go out and rescue people in the ocean and sometimes in total darkness and then find them. And do you ever realize then, and you can actually look up videos of these and watch them, they're fascinating. You can see how important and significant the work of the helicopter above the rescue area is, and the spotlight that shines down on the one going to do the rescue. Use it as you would have a little bit of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's purpose is not to focus on himself, not to put the spotlight and illuminate himself and what he does, but by his work, illuminate what the Son of God has done for each one of us, to illuminate Christ and the great rescue that he has come to get us out of our sins, to get us out of our graves, and to take us finally to our heavenly home. And so the Holy Spirit is never doing his work with the idea of shining a spotlight of attention back on himself. That's one of the reasons that Scripture says some things about the Holy Spirit, but a lot more about Christ, and a lot more about the work of the Father who sent his Son into the world. Because when we're learning about Christ and focusing on him and understanding what he's done for us, we're utilizing the work of the Holy Spirit. He's utilizing that work in our hearts. And so the purpose of his work is never on himself, but rather on the Son of God who has come to rescue. And you can see this throughout the pages of Scripture. If you look at Genesis chapter 3, as soon as the fall into sin takes place, we see the focus is on the promise of the coming Savior. And from that point forward, Genesis 3, verse 15, all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, the focus is always on Christ and what he's done for us. As Jesus said once to a group of Jewish people, "Search the Scriptures. These are they which testify concerning me." When Jesus was on his walk with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he went through the whole Scriptures telling them about all the places that the Bible pointed to him and to the great work that he had come to do for us. So this is a regular, constant thing that we see throughout the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit's work is not to show light on himself, but rather on this Savior. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit in a lot of different ways. I'll just read a few phrases. We're told he goes forth from the Father. He's frequently referred to as one who is sent and sent out from God. He goes out from God the Father, Jesus says. St. Paul and Peter refer to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Christ. So when he's working to shed light on your Savior for you, he is the Spirit of Christ. And he is distinct from the Father and the Son in the Trinity. And yet he shares in their majesty and in their glory. The first place we hear about the Holy Spirit in the Bible is Genesis chapter 1. In some of the opening verses about creation, it says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Isn't it interesting that the very one who gives spiritual life to us in our hearts is also the one who brings physical life to the creation that God is now bringing about and carrying out in Genesis chapter 1. And that's why the Nicene Creed speaks of him as the Lord and giver of life. The Lord and giver of life. Not only the spiritual life in your heart that loves your Savior right now, but the physical life in your body. We can credit the Holy Spirit with that as well. He is the Lord and giver of all life, no matter what it is. Now, St. Paul tells us in the text in front of us, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Isn't that an interesting line? God chose you as a Christian to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. The word sanctification literally means to be picked up and set apart from everything else. To be sort of grabbed and set apart in the sense of making it holy. God the Holy Spirit has grabbed you and me out of this wicked, unbelieving world that we're part of, that we're by nature filled with all of that same sin and death. But God, the Holy Spirit, through God's word and baptism, has picked you up and now sets you apart into the holy Christian church. And that's really what the word sanctification means for us. If you were in a foreign country right now, let's say that had some animosity with the United States, and you are a U.S. citizen, and something happened to you, you could run to the U.S. Embassy to find what we call sanctuary. You would seek sanctuary. And that means that you now have gone to a place, a building or a territory inside of this foreign land where you now have protection and you have safety. And suddenly everything there should be friendly for you to take care of you. So the word sanctuary comes from this same idea of sanctification, to be taken and set apart. God the Holy Spirit has set you apart from the wicked, unbelieving world that has no concern for Jesus Christ as its Savior. But you've been taught to believe in Him in your heart. You've learned to love and appreciate that He died on the cross to pay for all of your sins. You look forward to going to heaven because of what He's done. So God, through that work, has grabbed your heart and sanctifies you. He now sets you apart. He brings you into the embassy of the holy Christian church. He makes you part of His group of believers, His faithful in this world. Even though we're living in the midst of a land full of unbelief, because of that great work in our hearts, God has now sanctified you and me. And what a blessing. And when did this all start and take place? We're told God from the beginning chose you for salvation. Paul says even before He created the world, God chose you for salvation. That just baffles us. The Greek word used here for choosing or electing is the same word that you would say if a child went out into a field and picked a flower. Choosing or selecting, that God now plucks us from the unbelieving world. Years ago, I was talking to a friend, distant relative of mine, and their church, which is not a Lutheran church, had just gotten a new pastor. And this new pastor had started to preach to the congregation that his own mother, who was a professed Christian and gone to church her whole life and was now in her 80s, that he thought she wasn't going to go to heaven. And the reason was because she couldn't tell the exact moment that she became a Christian. Of course, the Bible doesn't teach that at all. But in his belief system, you had to be able to know the exact moment in which you became a Christian, when the Holy Spirit gave you faith and so on. According to his teaching, faith was something you had to do too. So let me ask you this question. Do you remember the moment that you were born physically? Of course not. Okay? That doesn't negate you being a person. That doesn't suddenly make you disappear and make your humanness go away, does it? You and I, probably most of us, were baptized at a point in life when we didn't even know. Weren't able to remember or know anything about it. And yet that same faith that God creates in our heart is sustained in us and kept alive through the Word of God, through taking His sacrament. And this is how God keeps that wonderful spiritual faith alive in our hearts. Now, when we hear about the teaching of election, sometimes we may be baffled by all the questions that it stirs up in our mind. Our intellect seems to have kind of difficulty with it. Just like a little adopted child might go to their mom and dad and try to better understand, how did you pick me? Why did I get selected? And the mom and dad of the child might say, just understand that you're our child and we love you. That's as simple as you need it to be. That's how God wants us to look at our election. Don't try to figure it out and be baffled by all these questions. Instead, just appreciate and cherish the fact that He's made you His child, washed you clean of your sins, given you the promise of everlasting life in heaven. And that's why God wants us to just understand that we are, as He often refers to us, brothers and sisters loved by the Lord. Think really how amazing this whole thing is. That even before God made the world, He chose you to be His child and believe in Christ. And He worked it out in your life by bringing you to baptism, hearing the Word of God, learning the gospel, learning the wonderful message of what Jesus has done for you, creating repentance in our hearts that we confess our sins before God, and causing us to trust and to hold on to what Jesus has done. And through all of that, promises to rescue us finally and take us to our eternal home. So God was attaching you to Easter even before Easter took place. It's an amazing thing. And by your very presence here today, you are demonstrating one of the outward signs of faith that the Bible talks about, to know that this has taken place in us. We hear, we know that we have brought from death to life because we love the brethren. It's a great passage. We know that we have been brought from death to life because we love the brethren. Amen. Please join me in the prayer, the collect for Pentecost. We'll say that together in unison as it is printed. Please rise. O God, you taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending to them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us by that same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one true God, now and forever. Amen.